Right, if you'd like to turn to Daniel chapter 6. It's a story you might not have heard before. It's the plot leading up to Daniel ending up in the lion's den. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, to be over the whole kingdom. And over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever." All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore King Darius signed the written decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, in his window, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. "Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter." So they answered and said before the king, "That Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but make his petition three times a day." And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute which the king established may be changed." We'll stop there. Now, this was written, 2,500 years ago. But the message it's given is one for today. When people state, oh, the Old Testament's old-fashioned, it's out of date, it doesn't reflect modern times. We've got something here that definitely does. So let's have a look at it. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. Satraps were like local governors, in that sense. But we meet Darius. Now Darius is the third king that Daniel has worked with. Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar were the other two. The only problem we have with Darius is that there's no actual evidence Darius existed. There is for Nebuchadnezzar, there is for Belshazzar, but Darius, they can't seem to prove that he existed. So a lot of scholars, of course, that throws up a problem for them. Doesn't for me, and I don't think it does for you. The Bible says, Darius, I believe it. So, but one thing the first line is saying, is that earthly kingdoms might come and go, rise and fall, but God's kingdom will keep going. Daniel's been there while the other kings have come and gone. Daniel is God's anointed, and he's kept going. And over these, three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Now then, why would he need three governors to keep the eye on the satraps? If you think about today, when people are trying to promote themselves, to trying to gain power, all that is still going on in those days as it is today. So the king, even though he set these people in the position they're in, he doesn't trust them. So he's picked three governors who I presume he trusted. Three governors who will keep their eye on them, keep them in check. Because it says, so that the king would suffer no loss. Now, Daniel was one of these, a very, very trusted position. So let's look at verse 3. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. That's quite a promotion, isn't it? For someone who wasn't even born in the land. He was brought in from Judah. But there's Darius thinking, this guy is something special. Daniel, at this time, was not a particularly young man. They reckon he could have been between 70 and 80 year old. So the position he's been put in, he could go into, could be down to experience, his age, wisdom. But God says, no, not because of that. It's because God has put an excellent spirit in him. It'd be nice for us to think that, do we have an excellent spirit within us? Will we flourish? Will we be a good example to others? So following God's command, as Daniel has done all his life, makes him stand out. I know in today's world, if in certain occupations in particular, if you're a follower of Jesus, that'll go against you. But also, if ever somebody wants somebody who they can trust, who would they turn to? Us. Unfortunately, because of who we are and what we represent, we don't fit in with the world's schemes, do we? When you're at work, you don't fit in because there's a lot of, how can I put it, people trying to get up the ladder. And I know at work I just go in, I do my work, and that's it. I'm not trying to continually try and get up the ladder. That doesn't interest me. I just want to go in and do a good job at what I'm at, what job I'm doing at that time. But also, if you stand on the truth, you give your word, when and people get to know that you're a truthful person. I've seen this happen in industry. If something goes wrong, they'll turn around and go, he never lies. So by standing on the word of God, by being truthful, you will stand out. And in times of difficulty, they will know whose word they can stand on, whose word they can trust. So just bear that in mind when you're at work. So the governors, the satraps, sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could not find no charge or fault because he was faithful. He was there, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Now then, we see the dark side rising here, don't we? Now Daniel had two things against him. Well, maybe three. The fact that he was of excellent spirit. The fact that he was a Hebrew. And that he followed the God of the Hebrews. These satraps and the other governors, as you'll find out, well, as it has seen, they're all in it for their own gain. Daniel stands in their way because he is a man that is truthful, honest, and will not bow, will not succumb to the ways of the world. There is a saying, it is said that few great men finish well. Daniel was an exception to this. He epitomizes the words from the Psalms. Psalm 9, 12 to 15 says this, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So, verse 5. Then these men said, shall we not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of God? So they tried everything. They tried to find fault in his work, basically. Trying to find fault in him. They couldn't find anything. They tried every avenue and failed. I would like to say that that would apply to me. But unfortunately, I don't think I'm that good. I think people can find fault in me. Right? Just ask Sue. She's nodding at the back, I saw that. I don't get things right all the time. Sometimes in situations at work, because I've always worked in that atmosphere before I was a Christian, and now, sometimes I come out with comments and join in with the banter without thinking. It's because it's second nature to me, if you will. I shouldn't do, and afterwards you think, I shouldn't have done that. So, I hope that just the life that I lead, even though I'm not perfect, stands out, sets me apart from the world. And people know that. They all know I'm a Christian. Wherever I've worked, they've all known I'm a Christian. I once had a comment, well, I didn't get the comment, somebody else got the comment. They were working with me. He says, oh, you know he's a Christian. I thought, yes. You know, it's something. I know that was a derogatory mark on their part, but for me, I'm thinking, yes. I'm glad about that. They know who I am. So, they've tried to find fault in Daniel and failed. So they set out to trap him. And this is how the world works. This is how Satan works. Now, there's more going on here than just Daniel and the satraps and the governors. There's a spiritual battle going on. Satan and God. Just like in the wilderness with Jesus, Satan tried to tempt Jesus. Many times, I'm sure, we've all been in the situations where we've been tempted. Rely on God. Stand strong. So what they decided to do is set up a conflict between Daniel's God and these laws, and the laws of the land. Does that sound familiar today? This is not just a problem that stuck in history, was around at Daniel's time. It's on now. Because there's been some high profile cases, haven't there, where people, Christians, have had to stand up and be counted. And that is the thing. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. They're buttering him up, aren't they? But notice how they thronged. They all went to him, as if giving the impression that there was all of one voice and one accord. These people, most probably didn't get on half of the time, but when you've got a common enemy, as like with Jesus, they come together to attack. And they were hoping that by sheer numbers they could influence the king. Have you noticed that in life, those that shout the loudest tend to get what they want? As Christians, because we don't shout loud, we tend to get overlooked, etc. People think we're weak, but they don't realise that being a Christian, you have to be strong. There's lots of things that happen in life that come our way where we have to be strong. Now Darius, he went with a crowd. In Psalm 2, 1-3, it says this. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. I come from Burnley, sometimes I pronounce things a bit funny, especially me H's. Now, have we got free speech in this country? Sorry, I can actually say yes or no. No? No, true. We've only got free speech in this world today when it fits in with the world view. And that is the problem. When we stand for God, we stand against what the world represents. The world has set itself up opposite to God. So we, as Christians, I know we're set apart, it says we're set apart, but we've got to live in the world, but not be part of it. Right? We will come into conflict with the world. And just remember, if you're good, shine like a light, it shows up their darkness even more. And they don't like it. They don't like the fact that their darkness has been shown up by your light. They hate to be reminded of it. So they will try everything to bring you down. They will try to get rid of that light. So their darkness looks normal. That's why they don't like Christianity. That's why they don't like the Bible. Because it reminds them of who they are and what they represent. They don't like that. People of this world today like their ears tickling. And unfortunately, when churches go down that route and they're tickling the ears of the congregation, the gospel loses its power. The gospel is only true and strong and powerful when it's preached, undiluted and strong. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, and counsellors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the lion's den. You notice that first word, all. It's not true, is it? Because there was one missing from that consultation. And who was that? Daniel. The king should have realised this. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. I've seen it a few times in the Bible, haven't they, where at that time, where they, once they had signed a decree, it had to stand. It could not be altered, could not be gone back on. Esther springs to mind. Exactly the same thing happened, where they were trying to manipulate things to their advantage. Now, they knew the only way to get to Daniel was through this way. So therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. They had him. They knew Daniel wouldn't back down. They knew Daniel would not compromise his life, his worship to God. Where are we? Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, in his, with his window open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Do you think we could be as brave. Daniel knew what he was doing. Daniel knew he was heading for conflict. He could have quite easily kept his windows shut. He could have done it in secret. But no. His custom was to do it with the window open, praying to God 3 times a day. They knew that. He knew they'd be watching him. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the lion's den? The king answered and said, the thing is true. Yeah. Now, the king was in a position. He liked Daniel. In fact, he said it set his heart on Daniel. He most probably loved Daniel in a way. He trusted Daniel, that's for sure. And I think the king had realised he'd been set in a trap, and the trap had sprung. In verse 13 they say, so they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. Now the king was displeased with himself, and he set his heart on to deliver him, and he laboured until the going down of the sun to deliver him. But he couldn't find a way out. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians, that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. They were just reminding the king, look, we can see you trying to get out of this, but you have set the law and it cannot be changed. But then, he gave the command, did Darius, to be cast into the lion's den. But Darius then came out with a wonderful statement. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Darius knew this. He had faith that Daniel's God could deliver him. Now, when I set out to write this, I had a slightly different theme in my head. But as I came through, the thing that came through was that in these times that we live, we must be prepared to stand our ground for our faith. We must be prepared to face that conflict. You never know in what situation you're going to find yourself. Like the baker in Ireland, or the bed and breakfast couple. Standing your ground in those situations is very difficult. And we don't know, until we're in that situation, how we're going to react. I just pray that I've got my faith is strong enough to stand in the moment. And I pray that yours will be. But it's a message that maybe we don't want to hear. That these things can happen. Or are going to happen. But if we're prepared, we're less likely to fall. And that is the message of tonight. We need to be like Daniel. We need to be strong. We need to carry on and be bold in our faith and our strength. for God. But at the end of the day, we've got God on our side. And like King Darius said to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. We might have to go through rough times, but he will deliver you. Trust in him, and he will deliver you. That's the thing. So, that's pretty much it really. That we need to be strong in the faith. We need not worry. Because God is on our side. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And let us remember that. That no matter what comes our way, no matter how dark it gets, Jesus will take us through it. So thank you for listening. Amen.